Hey, friends, welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys enjoyed the Hagman Show last night. Did a late night show with Doug last night. Had a lot of good topics we were covering, went into detail on a lot of different health topics. So it's a great show. Make sure you check it out. And also, you voted it one, the product of the week, the vitamin C formula. Be sure to grab a bottle on sale for over 16% off right now at healthmasters.com. And also, be sure to go to the podcast site and get updates. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, including the Brower Show and the Health Masters Report, every single day. So you get all types of topics right to your email, including all the sales and specials we have. And be sure to follow us on all these different platforms we have on here now, including Gab, Spotify, Rumble, iHeart, Apple Podcasts. They're everything. Rocking and rolling every day with our live show. So if you guys are enjoying it, we'll be ready for another great show today again, as always. And how are you doing today, my friend?
You're dragging today because you were on with Doug last night. I'm all geeked up because I was on with Moore this morning.
How'd that go this morning?
It went well. Good. John and I got to talk about a few things, and we got to go into detail. And I told him that the German Wehrmacht had a belt buckle that said, Gott mit uns, which means God is with us. And he goes, oh, I have one of those. I have one of those belt buckles. I said, of course you do, John. And so I got a kick out of that. So we're talking about a lot of things about history of World War I, World War II, and who really runs the planet. So it's kind of like we do on our show all the time. But I saw this article this morning from the Daily Caller, and this is pure nonsense. And I want you to see it. The Clintons get one step closer to potential jail time after House contempt vote.
That's a funny article.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny.
And it's saying because they're refusing to testify in the Epstein case that now they're one step closer to jail.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. They're just taking out one foot in the door.
To the author who wrote this, his name was Brasfield Ashley, not going to happen. The Clintons are Teflon. They know so much about so many people, and there's a 100-person dead body count behind them already. If you really think they're going to go to jail, you're living in some kind of fantasy world. Number one, they're best friends with Donald Trump. He's a former president. And in the event that they were going to go to jail, guess what would miraculously appear? It would be a pardon from Donald Trump. You think, pardon? He would never pardon the Clintons. Au contraire, he would pardon the Clintons. Because remember, the Clintons are one of the only known people that have admitted to and known have been on the Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein, and they know where the buried bodies are buried. So it's just legal stuff. Their attorney sends letters. They send letters back. They ain't testifying. And here's why they're not going to testify. Number one is they're too smart. You think, well, what do you mean they're too smart? They're not going to do what Roger Stone did. And Roger Stone was a pretty smart dude. But Roger Stone went before Congress, and he testified. And in his own mind, he told the truth. Now, they twisted what he said and said he perjured himself, and they were going to put him in prison for 4 years. You guys not remember this? And then they sent 700 attorneys against him, bankrupted him, basically found they got a conviction on him, and they were going to send him back to prison, and then Donald Trump, you know, pardoned him. And I remember I talked to Roger Stone, because Mancow's good friends with Stone. And I remember I talked to Stone after he had gotten pardoned, and I told him, because they were going to bring him back before Congress to testify again, and I told him, I said, please, Roger, this time, the only answer is, I plead the fifth. Is the sun going to come up this morning? I plead the fifth. Do you drink water today? I plead the fifth. You know, is the stock market going up? I plead the fifth. I got nothing to say, but I plead the fifth. Anything you ask me, I plead the fifth. I'm going to play recorder now. Fifth, 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 fifth. And he did it. Second time he went up there before Congress, he did that. And guess what? No charges were filed. So why in the world would the Clintons, former president and first witch in the White House, remember she's a Sabbatean witch, went to her witch's coven every 6 weeks, according to Larry Nichols in California, why would the president and the first witch actually testify and basically perjure themselves? Also, they're not going to do that. They're too smart for that. Do you think that he got away with all the crap that he did, especially with Larry Nichols and all the other stuff that he did in Mena, Arkansas, running all that dope? Remember all that stuff and running all those drugs and all that alcohol and all those weapons and all that stuff he was doing way back in the 80s? He got away with all that because he's not smart. Oh, Slick Willie. That's what they call him, Slick Willie. Like him, hate him, or whatever, he's no dummy. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're spot on that. That's exactly what the, there's nothing that's going to happen with them whatsoever.
No.
That's why it's all just more theater. Article, big article, big discussion that came up last night that I discussed with Doug is breaking. CHD, Children's Health Defense, RFK Jr., they have now filed a RICO suit against the pediatrician, American Academy of Pediatrician.
John Moore and I covered that in detail this morning. That's exactly. Well, what happens is these people, it's like a mafiosa group.
It's racketeering. It's,
yeah.
It's fraud.
The problem is they're across state lines. See, the same thing happened years ago, but they weren't charged with racketeering. The American Medical Association tried to put chiropractic out of business.
Yep.
I mean, they tried. And the Chiropractic Association sued them and won. And then the AMA left them alone. But the pediatricians are trying to force people to vaccinate against recommendations. Yep. And they're trying to force it to against their, the people that are in their organizations. And now they're getting nailed with racketeering. This is a huge story.
This is a huge story. And the suit says they made false and fraudulent claims about the safety of the Center Disease Control, childhood immunization schedule, mm-hmm. while receiving funding from vaccine manufacturers and providing financial incentives to pediatricians who achieve high vaccination rates, even at the health and safety of young children. And it's funny here, it goes on to detail, and it talks about, where is, I want to pull it up here. It says, in reference to, where'd it go? I had it pulled up, and it was talking about how Big Tobacco did this, but actually these guys have done it on a whole other level because of what they've done is they're not just trying to say something safe like tobacco. They went in and said something safe and effective, and you have to give it to your children. It's mandated you give it to your children. Nobody mandates you to smoke tobacco. Mm-hmm. But these guys come in and say, you're mandated to give these shots to these kids. And the more shots you give these kids, the more money we're going to give you. And so, yeah, they got a full RICO case apparently going against them. I hope it escalates to high heavens and everybody sees what a sham the American Academy is.
Well, I told John Moore this morning. Yeah, I used to be on WCIE with Tom Trolson. And I was had a monthly broadcast with him. I was a guest once a month back in the 80s. It was a long time ago, in the dark ages. And I was talking about all kinds of things, including vaccines. I was talking about God's keys to health and happiness, following dietary guidelines. I was talking about keeping your colon clean and make sure you have proper bowel movements every day. We covered it. We talked about it. And we had a lady in town who basically followed Tom Trolson's show pretty much every day called The Happy Homemaker. Won't mention her name. And she would come in and give pork recipes, the latest ham recipe. And, you know, and I was talking, telling people not to eat ham. Well, she started getting letters from the listeners. Why can't you listen to Dr. Brower? Well, that quite frankly, that just pissed her off. So she went to her husband, who was a pediatrician at the Watson Clinic. This thing is a true story as far as what happened with her, and they actually did a made-for-TV movie for it. And the irony was she told her husband, basically, that I should be taken off the air because I was giving out false and misleading information. Now, remember, he's a pediatrician, vaccinating all these poor children. And I remember he came to the church board and had me taken off the radio and told me in his arrogance, I will not allow you to be on my radio station. I mean, it's 100,000-watt FM to a 6,000-member church. The irony of all of this stuff, the church had such bad leadership, it eventually got sold and eventually bulldozed with a 10,000-square-foot sanctuary gone now. 10,000-seat sanctuary.
They're putting little apartments up there.
Yeah. And so I got taken off the air. Then a couple of years later, she got arrested for running a Ponzi scheme through the Watson Clinic. Watson Clinic had nothing to do with it. And he was involved with her, and they allowed him to keep his medical license to pay restitution to people for millions of dollars. There's the same lady that came on and said that I didn't know what I was talking about. She ended up running a Ponzi scheme. She ended up going to prison, and because of her horrible diet, and she was extremely obese, she ended up coming down with breast cancer and dying from it, and they let her out of prison and die at home with hospice. Because she was the chairwoman for the Republican Party for the state of Florida. And when President Bush was running for office back in the early 90s, he actually landed at her house, actually in the late 80s. He landed his helicopter at their house and spent the night at her house. That's how high up she was in the Republican Party, Ponzi schemer and all. You think, well, that really happened to you? Yeah. And that was with the pediatrician. So when I see this, yeah. It makes me feel good.
Oh, absolutely. And I called it out last week as far as what they were doing. It says the AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics, maintains financial relationships, deep financial relationships with vaccine manufacturers, including Pfizer, Merck, GlaxoSmithKline, Pasteur, and many more, and also the federal government. However, the group does not disclose any of these relationships in its policy statements or public safety assurances. This has led to a massive conflict of interest. Information including the formation of the association, in fact, enterprise, referred to individuals or entities that operate together for a common purpose. Now, listen to this for a second. The same pharmaceutical conglomerates that serve as the enterprise participants in manufacturing childhood vaccines have systemically acquired companies treating the chronic conditions that those vaccines cause.
There you go.
We talked about this now in detail. This is the first time anybody's actually talked about
this. Who's going to take care of the autistic kids?
I'm going to read that again. The same pharmaceutical conglomerates that serve as the enterprise participants in manufacturing childhood vaccines have systemically acquired companies treating the chronic conditions those vaccines cause, creating a closed loop system that finances childhood illnesses. About time somebody else said this, guys. It says the AAP last year released its own evidence-based immunization schedule identical to the CDC's childhood immunization schedule before Kennedy was put into place. Several states have adopted now the AAP schedule. So the AAP has continually said for years the CDC is the end-all be-all. We'll follow what their recommendation is. They're the science on this. They do the research. Now, suddenly the CDC's changed their schedule. AAP says, we're no longer following the CDC schedule. We're putting our own schedule out now that you have to follow because American Academy of Pediatrics deems it so for your child.
Let's read that one more time. Yeah. The same pharmaceutical conglomerates that serve as enterprise participants in manufacturing childhood vaccines have systematically acquired companies treating the chronic conditions those vaccines cause, creating a closed-loop system that financializes childhood illness to complain states. It's like saying to someone, hey, look, I'm going to poison your child, but you got to take him to my poison control center.
Yeah.
After I poison him, and we're going to keep poisoning him, but you got to bring him back to the poison control center, and I own both of these. And
so, both of them.
And so therefore, and now that, let me say this to you. You're going to dig into this, and you're going to find that it's a Sabbatane Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan doing this.
Well, all the same Baker Boys.
It's the same Baker Boys. They own it. And the same pediatricians who are part of that group, they own it. And they always do this. They financially incentivize themselves with the very diseases they cause. It happens over and over and over again. So many of these doctors own clinics to send people in to have chemotherapy or radiation or MRIs or basically they have to work on getting their kidneys and, you know, dialysis and all the rest, or macular degeneration, or the same ones that push the statin drugs, or the same ones that push the aspirin every single day, the same ones that push the same conditions and the same causes that cause all these diseases. That's why they passed laws in states, Austin, to prevent this.
Yep.
But what they do is they set up dummy corporations, and they put it in trust, and other people are running it for them, in which they're financially incentivized on the backside, but nobody sees it on the front books, and therefore they get away with it. Over and over and over and over and over. Your knee's doing bad right now. I think we need to go ahead and send you to the MRI clinic. You go, well, who owns the MRI clinic? It's owned by a conglomerate. Nobody tells you. It's like, no one knows. And we see the same thing here in Polk County. Something gets sold, and it's like four corporations deep, and nobody knows on the corporate thing. And then you find
the
out.
City buys it for them, expanded price. That doesn't make sense.
Well, no, and you find out who owns the corporation based out of Delaware.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Banana LLC.
You know, whatever. But the point.
Not even kidding.
No, we're not making this up. It happens over and over and over. And all this is conflict of interest with these people. And they use the very system in which they're being trusted to treat disease, to treat the conditions they're causing when they treat the disease causing other things. That's why so many of these doctors, and I hate to say it, they'll misdiagnose somebody to treat them because they make so much money in the treatment protocol. Doctors, oncologists have actually diagnosed people with cancer who didn't have cancer to put them on chemotherapy for years to make money on the cancer. You think they wouldn't do that? What planet are you on? It's that corrupt. And now the Pediatric Association has finally showed how corrupt they are, that they're buying the doggone companies that treat the illnesses caused by their vaccines.
Well, what's happened is now it's because the shot schedule dropped down significantly. Mm-hmm. So they know the revenue from the shots are going to drop down significantly, and the health problems are probably going to start dropping down. And it says the AAP last year has now released its own evidence-based immunization schedule. I just said
total
this.
Lies.
Completely separate from what the CDC said now. They also, too, have rejected the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices to end the hepatitis B shot mandate for newborns. AAP said, we're not following it. It doesn't matter. All children born today and further will all get a hep B shot as soon as they're birthed. Why? because we deemed it so. We don't have to have evidence. We're the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Shots full of
mercury. We don't need science.
Full of mercury. In fact, John Moore, bro, we had somebody call me up today on the John Moore show, says, how dangerous is the hepatitis shot? I said, it's unbelievably dangerous, loaded with mercury. And I said, there's no evidence unless the mother is a drug-using IV drug addict prostitute.
With hep B positive.
But it still doesn't help the baby with a hep B shot. They can't produce antibodies. It's a whole thing is a lie.
Well, I'm glad that Kennedy did this. He had to go in the offensive with this because if you remember last week, AAP updated the lawsuit. They asked the court to block basically HHS's next meeting in February and the CDC's meeting in February. They tried to file a formal injunction. They're not allowed to meet. They're not allowed to have a discussion about the science of vaccines and what actually happens. They can't do it because we're the Academy of Pediatrics. We deemed it so. These guys are brazen. These guys are out of control. They've gone completely rogue.
Well,
now they got a RICO suit.
And the Dental Association pushing fluoride is just as bad.
I'm letting you know that. These shots combined together, I think, do more damage than fluoride.
Well, no, I'm not talking about damage. I'm talking about how they control things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the problem they have is you go to the dentist's office and they go, well, we have fluoride treatment. No, you don't. You don't put that in my mouth. Yeah. That's a neurotoxin. What do you mean?
Yeah.
We've known it's a neurotoxin for 50 years. I don't want it in my body. We never heard it was a neurotoxin. It's a neurotoxin. I don't want it in my mouth. I don't want to absorb it.
Well, what's happened now is we've got this, like you said earlier, with the internet, the new Gutenberg press.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now with all these platforms, it makes it so easy to gather data, so easy to do research. You don't have to do much work anymore. You really don't. I mean, if you just do a little bit of time, you listen to shows like this, we'll give you the easy, we'll throw you the softballs. We'll just toss you a softball. Here's all the data. Here's all the research. Click on the news article. Read it all for yourself. I mean, can't make it any easier. And so what happens now, people are actually looking up going, why is HHS and the CDC dropping all these shots? They've told us for the last 20 years, my child had to have these shots or everybody was going to die. You got to get a shot right now. You're going to die. Isn't that the way the medical operation does a lot of stuff?
You know, again, when Mendelsohn wrote that book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic,
yep.
And he said that the white basically gown that they walk around in is basically their clerical clergy robes and that the stethoscope is their crucifix. And that they feel that they want to make you believe they're gods. And it's sickening to me because thus saith, I told you, I had a friend of mine the other day. Well, the doctor told me I was going to be dying soon. I'm getting someone to move in with me to take care of me as I die. And I said, why are you signing up for that crap? He didn't know that. Well, he told me, thus saith the doctor. And I'm like, this crap. I don't sign for it. I'm not believing it. I said, you just hopped out of your truck and ran over here. I said, you don't act like you're dying. I said, don't quit talking it. Quit confessing that negative crap. And they pass like a voodoo curse on you, and they shake a voodoo stick at you. Oh, you're going to die soon. And if you don't do this, you're going to die. So they scare the crap out of you. And you go, well, what do I need to do not to die? It's going to cost you your life savings. Okay, I'll do that. It's going to cost you your home. Okay, I'll do that. It's going to cost you everything you ever thought you ever were going to own for the rest of eternity. Whoa. Why do I want to do all that? Well, it's going to cost you everything on this planet. Okay, I'll do that. And they scare you half to death to try to get you to buy what you don't need to profit them. And you think, are they that brazen? Yes. And the problem with it is we should never have given these guys the ability to set their own salaries and set their own costs of goods. What do you mean by that? It shouldn't cost you $350 for a cavity to be filled. It shouldn't cost that much. It didn't. It cost 10 bucks when I was a kid, for real. We should never have allowed them to do this because they collaborate with other dental offices to raise all of the prices. Period. We should never have allowed a pediatrician, well, my charge is $10,000 for your child, or my charge is $50,000 for what's going on with, you know, with the chemotherapy. When we do that and they all work together and they set their pricing high, and you, as a consumer, you don't know what to do, but you don't want to die. You're willing to pay anything for it. And that's the problem that you have with the medical program today. In other countries, even in Germany, the doctors don't make that much. They don't make that much money, Austin. They may make $50,000, $60,000 a year. And they do it because they want to be a doctor, because they want to help people, because
right.
They want to be in that profession of healing. They want to be part of the solution. In this country, and it's been like this for decades now, people go to medical school to make a lot of money. I remember when I was in college, they would contaminate pipettes. Students would. in organic chemistry just to try to get somebody to get a B or a C in the organic chemistry class so they couldn't get into medical school so they wouldn't have to compete against them. I saw it over and over and over and over. It happened to me in physiological psychology. They would contaminate my experiments. I couldn't believe it. I went to the lab TA. They said, well, you're going to have to take your name off. They know they're competing against you. You're number one in the class, so you got to take your name and change it. I said, I've got to change my name? Well, yeah, because they see your experiment. Happened to me when we were dealing with rats and training rice, white rats. All of this stuff happens, but we don't want to talk about it because it's promoted, it's projected through greed. It's greed, greed, greed. How can I make the most money? And don't get me wrong. I have no problem with somebody being blessed. I have no problem with somebody living in a nice home and driving a nice car and all the rest. But when it comes to the price of having to defraud other people to do it, that's not okay. It's like these TV evangelists. I'm going to pick on them for a second. If you give me $1,000, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. It's a total lie. These guys are con men when they say stuff like that. They're defrauding people. You've got someone who's dying of cancer. Give me $1,000 and I'll pray for them to be healed. And you cause them to basically say, okay, I'm going to send you $1,000. I've seen all of it. I've worked with a lot of these guys, and I don't work with any of them any longer because almost all of them are frauds, all of them. Now, there are some that aren't. There's some that are really good people, but they got their fleet of private jets. They got one of them had 25 mansions that I knew. Mansions. I'm talking 20,000 square foot homes all over the United States. They were multi-billionaires. And they were completely just as anti-Christian as you can possibly imagine if you got them on the side and talked to them. That's what, how many times have I told you guys? Don't support TV evangelists unless you know them personally. Don't. Stay with your local church. Support your local church. Support your local. The other day, I'm a perfect example. My church is sending a bunch of comforters and a bunch of quilts to third world countries. And I called them up and I said, how much is it going to cost to ship these things to these third world countries? They said, well, we don't know yet. And I said, just let me know. And I said, I'll take care of it. You think, well, they say, wow, okay, great, thanks. And you think, why would you do that, Ted? Because my church is making the quilts and we're shipping them. I know what's happening and I know they're going to keep people warm in third world countries. Why would I not support that? And I normally wouldn't tell you something that I do because I try to help a lot of people in nonprofits all the time. But the reality is if we don't support one another, then what are we supposed to do? Give these TV evangelists money? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And when they get on that private jet, their next private jet, and their next private jet, and they have not all of them, but a bunch of them have had multiple affairs on their wives. Some of them are homosexuals. And you're thinking, what am I doing? You start finding out when you get around these people who they really are. Be very, very careful in who you support. That's why I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be here doing this show with you guys. I'd still be praying for you, though I wouldn't know you as well as I do now. But I'd still be praying for you. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I talked about that with John this morning. You just got me on a really rough topic this morning off with the pediatric people because it was that doctor in Lakeland that came after me so intently. It was unbelievable what they did to us, me and Sharon back in the 80s, and how they ripped us off the radio. Ripped us off. They came after us because we were telling the same people the same truth that we're telling you right now in some of the very same topics we were saying the very same things.
That were now proved to be right on.
I was the charlatan. You know, I was that guy. And I'm like, I'm charlatan. I'm telling you not to eat pork. God says don't eat pork. Why is that wrong? God is one. Oh, we're not under the law anymore. I said, well, God didn't. Jesus didn't come to die and sanctify pigs. He didn't do that. He didn't. Four Old Testament precepts: God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man, the sanitary laws, the dietary laws. When God came in the form of Christ and he died for us, he completely changed God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man. He never changed the sanitary laws or the dietary laws. You're still supposed to wipe your bottom. You're not supposed to be running around with feces all over the place. You're supposed to bury the stuff outside or use a septic tank. Nothing changed with that. And now the World Health Organization says no one causes a cancer globally is pork. Duh, God told us that thousands of years ago. I told you that 50 years ago. But the reality is people don't want to listen. They want to hear what their itchy ears want to hear. That's all they want to hear. Oh, I like pork. I love pork. I love my ham. You go, well, you're going to die young probably if you eat this junk. Well, I don't care. I'm going to die young. And they say that crap, and they're arrogant. Now, they don't want to die young. They mock you. I told you that 19-year-old kid who was laughing at me about pork. And the following year, a few months later, I was at his funeral, died of a massive heart attack, 19 years old. But he was laughing because it was funny. I said, I wouldn't laugh at God's word, bud. This is not okay. This is blasphemy. I said, well, I love my pork. I'm like, no, eat your pork. Do what you want to do. I don't care. And guess what? He died at the age of 19. I saw it with my own eyes. I was at his funeral. I can't tell you, but once or twice or 100 times, that there's certain things you shouldn't eat, certain things you shouldn't put in your body, but it's up to you and your family and you as a leader of your family, man or women if you're divorced, to implement what God tells you to do. It's not me saying don't eat pork. It's God saying don't eat pork. Now, if you want to argue with somebody, you know, the will of majority never circumvents the will of God. Don't I mention that? It's still the same thing. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't eat pork. You say, well, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? No, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I like a good beefsteak. I like chicken. I went and got some chicken last night and had it. We don't have to eat vegan. I did that. I showed you that study the other day. The lady was fighting her whole life, trying to get pregnant, kept miscarrying over and over and over again as a vegan. She started eating meat also. She got pregnant, had healthy kids.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Okay, I'm off the tangent. What's your next story, Austin?
No, you're spot on with this. What you put in your body, how your body's affected. I mean, what you put in your mind, what you watch, what you read, all these things have impacts on your body. Garbage in, garbage out, as it is. And if you keep eating toxic food, you're going to get toxic results. So I kept telling her, I've told her about it for years. Ham, pork, pepperoni, all that stuff's unbelievably toxic for you. I mean, here's the thing. If you get exposed to it occasionally now and then, or you get a soup, or you get something, you know,
by accident,
you get it there. Is it going to have a massive effect on you? Probably not. But when you start eating this stuff, and what happens is it's on a daily repetitive schedule because your body can only get so many toxins out of your body so fast. You can only get so much toxins out. What happens? The liver starts getting overwhelmed. Body starts building up with inflammation. You can't get out of your digestive tract. You start having all these health issues that start building up. Rarely is it somebody one day goes, oh, my gosh, I had a ham sandwich for the first time in history at 35 years old, and now I've developed cancer tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question.
It don't really happen that way.
I already know the answers to these.
Yeah.
I've never asked. I didn't tell. Give me this middle camera, Rich. Okay. I know the answers. How old are you?
37.
Okay. He's 37 years old. Yeah. Okay. How many times have you seen me or your mother or anybody that you know me have a big pork meal and cook it in my house?
Not one time in my entire life. Not once.
Not once. Not once. And now how would you feel if you came to my house and you were going to eat dinner with us one night and we had a big ham? You'd be pretty pissed off.
Well, you'd be able to contradict yourself.
No, because how can you do that? How can salt water and fresh water flow from the same spring? Yeah. I don't eat the stuff. Now, I used to eat it all the time before you were born. Almost killed myself with it. With pericarditis, and heart disease, and everything else. I was in my 20s.
Well, and explain it, too, because you always said it's a hot meat as far as the way it digests, too. Not just the concept of parasites, but the actual meat itself.
The meat digests too quickly in the body.
Okay.
Okay, and when it does that, it elevates blood urea.
Okay.
In other words, it gets undigested blood proteins in the blood. And what happens is that when I had that pericarditis, it was feeding the bacteria that was eating the pericardial lining of my heart. And it was because I had my teeth cleaned by some quack dentist who didn't bother to tell me when you scale your teeth after you haven't had them cleaned in a long time, you get a bunch of blood, you get bacteria into your bloodstream.
Right.
That's what caused the pericarditis with me. But I wasn't recovering because I was living on pork, which was feeding the bacteria. And I had that friend of mine come into my house in Tallahassee, and he told me, I know why you got this heart disease. He said, buddy, it's because you're eating pork. And I said, what are you, nuts? Are you nuts? I said, his name was Jeff. And he said, man, he's a naturopath. And I said, that's not true. He goes, God said don't eat it, and you're going to have these long and lingering diseases. Look at you. And he gave me a book.
Look at you.
Yeah. And he gave me a book. And the book was by Elmer Joseph, and it was called God's Keys to Health and Happiness. And I read it, and I thought, oh,
he's right.
I wonder if God's right, right? Because why would you even ask yourself that question? Obviously, God's right. But I had eaten pork so long, being German, that I stopped eating it and got off the 18 cups of coffee a day. Now I'm on, you know, purple sticks all day.
Yeah.
Right? And I ended up basically getting over the pericarditis. Now my heart's doing great. And the reality is that you sit back and you watch yourself over the years. You think, did I learn from that? You darn right I learned from that. So that's why I asked him on the air in front of you guys, have you ever seen us cook a pork meal in this house? Absolutely not. Would not do that. Now, if I occasionally got something in a restaurant unknowingly, that may have happened.
Well, that's why I said, I don't ever eat it. I don't actually eat it. But sometimes you get a soup or something, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, it's got sausage in it. You're like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, but again, at the end of the day, that's not going to have a massive effect.
I used to go to a German bakery and I'd have them make sauerkraut for me. And they had pork, and I always tell them to cook me sauerkraut without pork. You remember that? And I would always, if there every once in a while was a piece of pork, I'd pick it out. And I would tell the man, the owner, I'd say, look, can you make sure I don't get pork next time? I don't like this. I'm picking it out. And he'd say, okay, I'll be careful with you next time. But that's how serious I am about this. I mean, I remember I told you I had that medical doctor who was 52 years old. He'd had a heart attack already. and we went to that same German bakery. I'm ordering sauerkraut and, you know, a chicken salad, right? He orders schnitzel, deep fat fried pork fat. And I told him, I said, you can't eat that stuff. He goes, oh, I love it,
that
man.
That sounds like a walking heart attack, bro.
No, he already had a heart attack.
That's what, I mean, that meal just sounds, I mean,
I don't eat it very often. I said, you can't eat it at all. You're a cardiac patient. A couple years later, we buried him in the 50s. You think, it's a terrible story. I know it's a terrible story. He's a great guy. He's a good friend. The sad part about it is that some people make decisions that cost them their lives. It's like hanging out with the wrong person who does the wrong things, but you're with them. Yeah, if you're with somebody,
eventually you get drug into it.
Well, no, you do. If you're with somebody and you're married, and they continually run around on their girlfriend or their spouse or committing adultery, if you're not careful, you're going to fall into that same ditch, and you're going to be in the same mess with them. If you're with somebody who wants to go out and do drugs, and you're hanging out with them all the time, eventually you may end up doing drugs. You know, Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. It says in Proverbs, and we need to be aware of that. If you hang out with certain people who go to certain places. I remember Lynn Breidenbach used to be a spokesperson for the Sheriff's Department here in Polk County years ago, and she had her own radio talk show. And I was asking her one time, I'm like, you keep giving these stories about these people getting killed and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, what the heck? And she goes, Ted, when this happens, is people are going out with people they shouldn't be with, to places they shouldn't go. And she goes, and that's how they get caught in this stuff. And I said, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. And so the problem is that how many times does it take you to learn that you shouldn't do certain things or hang out with certain people? That's why the Bible says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive thee. We have to learn to separate ourselves from people that are doing things that we don't want to do or that we know we shouldn't be involved in. Very, very important.
Also important, let me cover this real quick. I want to tie into this. Also important, too, not to cover.
Oh, can you believe this? Yeah.
Support companies that don't support you. How long have I said, don't be supporting Amazon? Don't be buying their Ring cameras that tie into their cloud. Don't be allowing your security system to have access from the outside from Amazon on a regular basis. Fury now, as Amazon Ring cameras are hooked up to ICE system via Palantir and via basically this entire system they put together now with Flock. Now, again, I don't have any fanfare for these liberals that are going berserk on this. They did this to themselves. But now they're going crazy. They're saying, crush your camera. Crush your Ring camera. It's an ICE agent now. Says U.S. immigration enforcement are wreaking havoc on American communities, allegedly. Most cases are bringing out people that are really, really bad. They don't need to be in the country anyways. However, there are other situations that are occurring. Says Amazon Ring, the company behind AI doorbell cameras, have exploded in popularity. However, now they're announcing that the camera has been tied into Flock AI. The investigation by 404 Media found they're available to local federal police and enforcement agencies like ICE, leaving many worried about what they're feeding. Sure enough, protesters have ramped through the U.S. Activists are pushing grassroots campaign to get Ring cameras away from their house. Smash your Ring doorbells, they said. Urged 3.5 million followers on TikTok. Said this guy, Guy Christian, you need to smash your Ring doorbells. Amazon owns Ring. They've begun sharing surveillance collection from your front step with ICE and Flock Safety, weaponizing surveillance against American people.
Just put tape over the camera. You know, just fast. Yeah. Just tape the camera. But now they're also being able to go into people's homes without search warrants.
I asked Doug about that last night. I asked Doug about that last night. So there's a lot. There's a situation with that. They're talking about basically if individuals have barricaded themselves in a house and they have a deportation warrant and they're supposed to be out of the country, then they have the ability to do so. He said he has not seen any situations yet where ICE is kicking down people's door because there's allegedly somebody in the house that they need to get rid of. Essentially, they have very, very specific circumstances that they know a suspect has basically gone into a house and he will not leave and he's got a warrant.
Oh, by the way, one of our listeners just texted me. They're watching the show live now.
Oh, are they?
They told me Purple Sticks rock. DJ Paul. Thank you, TJ. Paul, he's a great guy. He's a good friend.
Awesome guy.
And in fact, we had a party here at my house for Christmas, and he actually brought it over. He's a DJ. He actually works and, you know, runs shows and that kind of stuff. And he brought some speakers over for me because we had some people with violins come in and play some stuff and we couldn't hear them. So he came in with some speakers and he was really nice about that. It was a string quartet, actually. It was really nice. It kind of reminded me of Germany in pre-World War II. You know, we were playing Bach and Beethoven and Strauss and waltzes and all kinds of neat things with a string quartet. Austin was funny about it because I put the party together a couple of weeks and he goes, I didn't think you could pull it off in 2 weeks, Dad. I'm like, yeah, we can do pretty much anything.
Good.
Oh, by the way, the biggest UFO bombshell of 2026 a retired colonel now, has said in testimony to secret non-human recovery mission down in Brazil. A retired U.S. Air Force pilot claims there is an extensive paper trail proving that one of the most infamous UFO encounters in the last three decades really happened. Colonel Fred Clausen, who was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross twice, which is a big deal, by the way, during his career, came forward during a press conference in Washington on Tuesday to reveal who would know about the 1996 incident in Brazil. The alleged incident began in January 13, 1996, when locals reported seeing a UFO crash land in a field near Varina, followed by sightings of strange creatures described as walking on two legs but having oily brown skin and large red eyes. Maybe they need to be on a cleanse program.
Detox, baby.
Detox. They had one off for the weekend. In fact, three young women claim they found one of the extraterrestrials hiding behind a wall near the crash site. Now, I covered this in Angel Wars. This is real stuff that happens. The same entities and the same spacecraft that they used to try to do the coup d'etat against God in the beginning before Adam and Eve are the same ones running around doing this stuff. These things are real. They haven't just showed up. They've been here for a long, they were here before we were, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that. But now they're coming more out of the closet. But they're not supposed to be out of the closet. To coin a phrase. Okay, I'm not saying a bunch of queers. I'm not saying that. A bunch of queer UFO aliens, okay?
I mean, they start coming down, start putting rainbow lights all over their UFOs.
Well, then they're gay.
Well, now it got weird.
Okay, now it got weird. But the reality is that these entities have rules of engagement with us. Like I've written Angel Wars, and they're not supposed to have human contact with us. There's, you know, it's like the Starship Enterprise. You're not supposed to have human contact with certain civilizations, right? The prime directive. You know, it's kind of like with these. And God gave them rules of engagement not to do. And then the Nephilim decided to come down and start breeding with a bunch of women. And they started having a bunch of Nephilim children and giants. And they contaminated the genome. And they broke the rules of engagement. And God says, here you go. Hold for just 1 second. Watch this. I'm going to pull the continents apart. Shut off the magnetic ley lines. I'm going to tear up all of your transmitters that you're using for pyramids. And we're going to basically wipe out the human race and start with clean seed with Noah. Because I'm tired of trying to deal with a bunch of non-human people on this planet. We're about to fix it. You know, God can do things like that. So when you talk about, you know, Angel Wars and what happened and who these UFOs are, don't allow disclosure like this to frost on you and make you think, oh no, what are we going to do? There is a God. You're not him. I'm not him. God created these entities and he knows exactly what's going on down here, but they're not supposed to be running around talking to us. Thought I mentioned that. What's going on now?
Speaking of wild stuff, Poland has now stated they're going to buy another 150 metric tons of gold.
That's a lot of gold.
They already have 550 metric tons.
Good luck trying to get it.
Well, I know the next country, yes, is going to invade now. We're going to have to liberate Poland. Oh, we got to spread democracy now, guys.
And Hungary behind them.
Crazy, dude. This will make Poland, that small country of Poland, in the top 10 countries with the largest gold reserves in the entire world. So something's kind of odd about this because Poland's not that big of a country and they're not that big of an economy, but yet they're going to be up there with some of the heaviest hitters in the entire world as far as gold reserves. Almost like you have somebody in there that's holding a lot of gold. They want to have this country holding it. Just interesting topic on here.
I've got to say it.
What?
I don't want to do it today. Today's Thursday, isn't it?
Today is Thursday.
Not satire. Liberal white woman lectures a black ICE agent about race and history.
There you go. Not satire.
And if she's not a Butch Dyke lesbian, she's missing the opportunity, I guess, for her. I don't know. But she is one mean woman. And she's chewing this black guy out. He's trying to be nice to her. He's wearing a mask. And she just tears into him, boy. And he's trying to talk to her, be nice to her. And, boy, is she a nightmare.
Sounds about right.
She's the kind of person that would brighten up a room by leaving it. And she is just, I mean, you know, I have a friend of mine, John Parvin, my attorney, real estate attorney, brilliant man. High functioning genius. And I remember he told me one time, he goes, if I ever have to deal with one of these women as an attorney in court, he says, I usually won't take the case. He says, because they're not reasonable. All they want to do is yell and scream and fight about everything. And he goes, you can't negotiate with them. And he goes, it's just not worth messing with them. And when I see this and I see how she's acting, I just shake my head in disbelief. And I realize that they live amongst us, that they're real, that they're really part of society. And you think, well, how can you be part of society? Well, you basically become a Butch Dyke lesbian and you decide that you're going to go ahead and get on government welfare and government programs and basically sit around in most cases, not all cases, and not provide no useful benefit to the society in your life and just argue about why people need to give you more money. And you get unbelievably mad when they say, well, maybe I don't want to give you any money this week. What do you mean you can't give me money this week? You have to give me money. I deserve your money. You have to work more. And you sit back and you go, wow, I can't believe these girls are like that. These women are like that. Well, because you don't know if they're girls or guys anymore nowadays with the testosterone shots. But the sad part about it is they do walk among us. And it's best just to avoid them the best you possibly can. Here's another interesting article. Is that Europe prepares unleash anti-coercion trade bazooka against Trump. You know, this thing about all of this is that when Donald Trump is talking about all the things he wants to do to Europe if they don't help us, you know, invade Iceland, which, by the way, he's
Greenland.
Back. Greenland, yeah. Iceland's the next, I'm sure. But I did misspeak.
Iceland's actually a nicer state as far as terrain-wise.
That's why they named it that. Uh-huh. They were trying to keep people away.
They did a good job.
They did. I've been to both countries, both islands. And the crazy part about it is Trump's backing off his desire to take them by force now. But you have to ask yourself a question, other than the rare earth minerals that are there that we covered yesterday. What was he obfuscating? Was it the Jeffrey Epstein files? I mean, all of a sudden we're going to be going to war with Iran. All of a sudden that goes away. We get all of this rhetoric out of the White House now and all this inflammatory hyperbole.
Yep.
Inflammatory hyperbole that never seems to happen.
It's shock value.
But it keeps the whole planet shook
shock
up.
Shock value headlines. I mean, 2 weeks ago they said, if any more protesters die in Iran, we're invading Iran. 12,000 protesters were killed overnight.
But then you find out there
was not even remotely any evidence that showed that at all.
And then you find that Israeli bullets were found in the bodies of children killed by quote-unquote rioters there in Tel Aviv.
It's IDF.
Yeah, and you think, well, why are there Israeli bullets in the bodies of children? Well, because the Israelis shot the children. Oh, but can't talk about that. Can't talk about that because they're our greatest ally. And it's mind-boggling that we have this happening all around us, and we're supposed to sit here and pretend like it doesn't matter and pretend like we can't say anything because if we do, we're an anti-Semite. It's really kind of sad. I posted this. It's from the UNS, and it's from Cynthia McKinney. She got elected to Congress 6 times and soon found herself under attack by the Israeli lobby when she refused to sign the Pledge of Allegiance to Israel.
Yep.
And I posted this. You could read this. You could listen to her own speech. And this was demanded from all representatives. They signed a Pledge of Allegiance to Israel. The lobby was able to eject Representative McKinney from Congress twice, once in 2002 and again in 2006, by fabricating a primary opponent backed by the vast fortune of the Zionist oligarchs through AIPAC and the tireless energy of the 500,000 foot soldier Zionist power configuration, or CPG. Unbelievable, the power of Israel and the United States along Walton Marsheimer, and then check out the documentary film, The Lobby. Israel was immense power. The USA defines itself as a Jewish state, a state by and for all the world's racially defined Jewish people, but not a state for any of the 20% of its residents who aren't Jewish. It's the world's only remaining officially racist apartheid nation.
True.
So we are allowed to discuss what the Jewish state means. Can we explore the historical, physiological, and cultural factors that led to the Zionist colonization of Palestine, which we've done many times on the show? The Zionist power configuration says no way, according to the CBG, and the attack dog, ADL, anyone talks about such things as an anti-Semite, and should be muzzled, deplatformed, and persecuted. In the interview, Dr. McKinney bravely goes where few, if any, former congressional representatives gone before, speaking frankly about Israel's control of the U.S. Congress and other questions of power, and also raising the taboo issue about the Jewish question of what they do and how they control the United States and the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Yep.
And BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. And so many other things are controlled by these guys. And you sit and think, it shouldn't be that way. They're not even Americans. They're from another country. And, yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? When you're told in Congress that you have to sign a Pledge of Allegiance to Israel or they're not going to allow you to stay in Congress. And sure enough, they got her out. But I'm going to post this again right now. Cynthia McKinney on Zionism and power. And let you guys listen to her interview. And this is a former congressman. And it's coming from her own words. So you guys can go ahead and listen to it if you'd like. And that way, it's not me telling you the same thing over and over again. You listen to her tell you the same thing over and over again. What do you think, Ross?
Well, that's why, my opinion, is why Marjorie Taylor Greene stepped down.
Yeah.
Because they eviscerate her, and she flat out said it. She goes, what's going to happen is they're going to back, AIPAC's going to back whoever's going against me, and they're going to fund them endless amounts of money. And this is what's going to be. Well, they're going to smear me. They're going to run me through the mud. And then they're going to fund them tens of millions of dollars to make sure that they win.
Well, I just posted another article. And it says, Marjorie Taylor Greene exposes Israeli lobby.
There you go.
Right here. He said to Megyn Kelly and the beta, how much an ally of Israel is the United States. And this, you know, and more and more and more. This is coming out more and more and more. And see, the thing about it is, if we don't basically stand for truth and what the word of God
exactly
says,
right,
then we're going to basically fall into the same place where all these other people who don't get banned on YouTube fall. How long was the last time we were up on YouTube? I think we were up 3 minutes, 15 minutes.
I think I made it 15.
We made it 15 this time. 15. We've tried over and over again, but it doesn't matter. We are blackballed. I guess what you could say, we basically have the crown of thorns upon our head as far as saying anything. You're going to be crucified.
Well, I'm pretty confident now as far as the AI algorithm. I think Breuer.
B-R-O-E-R. Get it spelled right now.
Omelon.
With the omelon over the O.
Yeah.
Breuer.
I think that name's just, I think we're blacklisted, man.
Well, there aren't many of us.
I think as soon as Brower shows up on YouTube, it's like,
Well, that's why the theme song from our show is The Last of the Mohicans, the movie that was out. And basically, I guess Austin and I are the last of the Mohicans.
Let me clarify something. I try not to spread any type of hate or anger or violence towards any group of people. And the fact of the matter is, everybody has a right, though, to question the behavior patterns of a country that's gone rogue. The government of Israel.
They sure did it in Germany.
Yeah, the government of Israel has gone rogue. I mean, they do whatever they want. I'm not talking about just the Jewish people. I'm talking about the government of Israel. There's a lot of people over there that are really good people still. There's a lot of people that still respect the United States. There's a lot of people that don't want to be involved in that crap over there. But the Israeli government's gone rogue. I mean, we've seen this now. I mean, what they've done to Palestine, you can't talk anything about what's happened to Palestine. You can't address anything that's going over there. But then they come out and say, oh, United States, wake up, big pit bull. Iran's doing something we don't like again. We need to posture against them. Why is it that Israel is always the one that's saying all these other countries need to be overthrown? Libya, Syria, Iraq. I mean, they're the ones who start this, by the way. If you do any research, you will find all the arrows point back to Israel's government where they say, well, this country needs to be, you know, we need to regime change.
There's a warrant out for Benjamin Netanyahu's address. Yeah.
International war
crimes. That's why he didn't show up in Davos. He don't get arrested.
No. He didn't go anywhere.
No.
I can't imagine the security team that's with him.
Oh, by the way, here's an interesting article from Technocracy News. Looking backwards and forward, did Trump just trigger the Great Reset from the WEF? The World Economic Forum is and always has been the home of the Great Reset. Klaus Schwab wrote a book about it in 2019. After that, a slew of books with the same name appeared by the likes of Glenn Beck, Mark Morano, Michael Reckenbach. Okay. And the Great Reset has been sliced and diced ad infinitum. Some will have proved right, others will prove wrong. But after Donald Trump's stunning hammering speech at the World Economic Forum this morning, it is evident that Trump is the catalyst to trigger the Great Reset. In other words, this spells the end of the, quote, old world order. You saw this coming in this way, but Trump has thrown them all under the bus. The United Nations Agenda 21, the sustainable development scam, the windmills and solar farms scam, the war on global and colossal fuels scam, stakeholder capitalism scam, the stupid immigration policies that are destroying Europe and the United States scam, NATO scam, et cetera, et cetera. My read at this point is that all of these things were instrumental in getting technocracy in the driver's seat in the first place, but now that technocracy has arrived, they are done with those things, out with the old, in with the new. With the new old world order in shambles, don't look back. Look forward to what the next world order will be. The only possibility is technocracy, and we see it all around us, and this is full, complete global control through the AI system, through the internet, and those Amazon Ring cameras telling you where everybody is all
exactly
the time.
Exactly right. With AI facial recognition data that's tied into them through Flock. I mean, you guys, you're buying a product that you know is going to spy on you, and you put it in your house, and you're mad at spying on you. Like,
what's that thing that you put in your house?
Alexa.
You talk to it. Yeah,
Alexa.
You know, I had a friend of mine, a global pastor, by the way. Big,
I mean, told me he got it.
He said it was a gift.
You get that out of the house. I don't want it. I
gave it away.
I told you, I'm not coming to the house while it's on.
No.
Not that I have anything that I'm nervous to say around. I just like my privacy. Well, I have a private conversation. I'll leave my cell phone in the other room.
If I want to order something off of, you know, YouTube or off of, what's the other one? eBay.
Yeah.
I don't need Alexa ordering it for me.
No. And I don't need Alexa recording my conversations and doing data log. Remember, they sell all the data on everything you say. This isn't conjecture. This isn't speculation. It says in terms and conditions. Anything you talk about, sell it all.
I told you, we talked about it yesterday. OnStar wanted me to sign off on all that yesterday or last week when I got that truck. And I said, I'm not going to sign off on any of this stuff.
I got a funny video somebody just sent me. There's a little bit of profanity, but it's not a lot. And it's from it's a big spoof on the fifth, on calling the fifth in court. It's from Chappelle's Show.
Let's
You guys are gonna find this. This goes back to the fifth on here. This is how Dave Chappelle said how to escape life in prison.
Ready? Let's do it. Let's watch it. Like camera four, Rich.
Really funny. All right, here we go. This is really funny.
How to escape life in prison.
King dealer for 7 years.
I plead the fifth.
Sir, will you tell us about the cartels you dealt with in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
No, but I can tell you that I plead the fifth.
Exactly how much money did you earn in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
There are so many amendments in the Constitution of the United States of America. I can only choose one.
I had to play that. Somebody sent to me an email. We're talking about the fifth earlier. So many amendments, I can only pick one. I thought some humor, some levity for you guys. I was laughing while I was watching this. I gotta share this with everybody.
Got me teared up on that one.
Oh, man.
But he is funny.
Oh, man. Sometimes you gotta put something funny on there for you guys. Yeah.
It's like Sergeant Schultz on Hogan Heroes. I know nothing.
I see nothing. I know nothing. I told you guys many a times, something ever happens if somebody's investigating you or asking you questions, especially if it's something that you just don't want to be involved in, and it's not relevant, or something you just don't want to discuss. I'm sorry, I can't discuss this with you right now. It's just not my place. I need my attorney with me if I'm going to say anything. Or in this case, you just plead the fifth on everything.
Oh, by the way, Pam Bondi, who basically has pretty much destroyed her own reputation for the rest of her life.
She has done that. Mm-hmm. She has done a good job with that. I'll give her that.
She blasts the Democrats for weaponizing justice as Trump's beauty queen prosecutor walks away. This is the Daily Mail. Lindsay Halligan, the former beauty queen who pursued indictments against the enemies of Donald Trump as a prosecutor for the Department of Justice, left her position Tuesday.
Jeez.
Halligan's departure comes as her 120-day tenure as interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia has expired, and as judges were raising questions about the legitimacy of her appointment. Both Halligan and Attorney General Pam Bondi announced her departure on social media on Tuesday. The circumstances led to the outcome are highly misguided, Bondi said in a social media post. She accused Democrats of having weaponized the blue slip process, and we are living in a time where democratically elected president's ability to staff key law enforcement positions face serious obstacles. The Department of Justice will continue to seek review of decisions like this that hinder our ability to keep the American people safe. Here's the problem I've got with all of this stuff, Ms. Bondi. Now, this is just really important. Why won't you release the stinking Epstein files? You sit here and you want to nail the Democrats for doing bad things. You have a court order from Congress to force you to release the doggone thing.
It goes further than that. Why in the world were we lied to and gaslit 6 months ago or 8 months ago?
Oh, there's nothing to see here.
No, I mean, why
was
she on national television saying that the FBI is having to go through tens of thousands of photos and videos of basically child sex exploitation derived all the way back into Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking? I'm sure on national television. We've got papers here, we've got documents here, all these videos are trying to go through. We're going to get everything released. And then suddenly, there is no
evidence.
There's no evidence. There's nothing to see here. We found nobody to prosecute.
And why is Ghislaine Maxwell in jail?
And it goes back to, if you guys haven't figured this out yet, all that stuff was exactly right before the BBB bill was supposed to get passed. And ironically, all that rhetoric, all the topics, all the releasing the photos, releasing the documents, we're going to release everything right now, led up to the BBB bill being passed on that Friday. And then suddenly on Sunday night, Patel releases the FBI memo and says, we found nothing to prosecute. There is nothing. Nobody was trafficking.
And Congress passes it.
Congress passed the bill on Friday.
Okay, here,
2 days later, ironically, there's nothing to see.
Answer me this.
Riddle me that one.
Yeah, riddle me this one. How many of those members in Congress were on the Epstein files, and how many videos they have in those members of Congress, and how many members of Congress were told, by the way, if you do what we tell you to do, we're going to come up with there's nothing to see here. Go away.
I think it's even deeper than that. I think it was you guys better band together and figure out how to get your butts out of the sling, because if you guys don't unanimously come together and pass this bill, oh, man, suddenly the FBI is going to have some people to investigate publicly on television. It's going to be great for your career long term and great for your family and great for your relationships.
Yeah.
So figure this one out.
Suddenly they pass it and there's nothing.
2 days later on Sunday night, Patel says, oh, we got a memo from the FBI. There are no Epstein files. Nobody was trafficked to nobody. It doesn't exist. Yeah. Yeah, go back to that one.
Oh, by the way, the FDA has now removed web content saying that cell phones are harmless.
Good. About time.
Okay. Here's the thing. You hold a microwave up to your ear. This is a microwave.
It is a microwave.
It puts out microwave energy. And that's why when you run it for a long period of time, it gets hot because it's cooking itself. Okay? And now you hold it up to your ear and you're talking on hours every single day. You're not using a speakerphone. You're not using a Wi-Fi blocker on it. You're basically holding it up to your ear, and you're cooking the side of your head and your brain. And now they say, nothing to see here, completely safe. The same people that are doing the research are the ones selling the phones. Kind of like the Mayor Cabinet Pediatrics. Oh, yeah, there we go. And the FBA removes WebCon saying cell phones are harmless. Without fanfare, no one even talked about this besides us right now, the Food and Drug Administration has deleted multiple web pages asserting that cell phones are not dangerous. First reported on the Wall Street Journal, the move comes as the Department of Health and Human Services, thank God for Kennedy, has begun a new investigation into potential health effects of cell phone radiation. HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy has previously declared that cell phones are causing harms that are not yet fully acknowledged. There's cell phone tumors. I'm representing hundreds of people who have cell phone tumors behind the ear. It's always on the ear that you favor with your cell phone. We have the science, Kennedy said in a 2023 appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience. You should never put one next to your head. I use it on speakerphone or I use earphones. According to the Journal Inquiry about the change to the FDA website, HHS spokesman Andrew Nixon said the FDA removed web pages with old conclusions about cell phone radiation. While HHS undertakes a study on electromagnetic radiation and health research to identify gaps in knowledge, including on new technologies to ensure safety and efficacy. One of the deleted pages included a passage declaring that the weight of scientific evidence has not linked exposure to radio frequency energy from cell phone use with any health problems. There may be more scrubbing of the site to come. The journal notes that the FDA site still has numerous summaries of the detailed deleted pages, but the links direct to other generalized content. I am so happy about this. Guys, we are in energy frequency. I've told you that 1,000 times on this show. We are a sound wave is what we are as human beings in a giant holographic field. And when you put another energy source into our field next to our head, you will massively increase the risk of the disruption of our own energy field and our own sound waves. And you will massively increase the risks of tumors. And he's saying that the tumors that appear behind the ear are always on the side of the head in which the cell phones are used.
There you go.
I will use my cell phone as a speakerphone like this. I'll use the hands-free in the car. I try rarely ever to put it in my head, though I have a Wi-Fi blocker on my case, which is kind of frustrating because sometimes you can't get service with it, but it just is what it is. But the reality is, don't be putting your cell phone next to your head. I know people, Austin, who spend all day, every day, hours every day with their cell phone doing business
on
their head.
Yeah. Now, do yourself a favor, though. If you do use speakerphone a lot, which I do as well, be cognizant of who you're around. Make sure if you have somebody call you and you put them on speakerphone, let them know they're on speakerphone and there's other people around the situation.
Always.
That's a big deal. That way, if you're having a private conversation or business conversation and somebody's saying something, they know to use discretion on a certain topic, whether it's finances or whatnot, and there's other people around, or take the call privately and go get in your truck or walk outside. I do that all the time at the office because sometimes private conversations need to be private, but I don't like having it off speakerphone. You're right about that.
And do everybody a favor. If you're going to be doing a speakerphone conversation,
go outside.
Just go outside.
It is. There's
obnoxious. Nobody wants to hear
nothing more obnoxious than being in an office setting somewhere.
Somebody walks
in, whoa, blah, 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 yelling at the phone, and they're on speaker, and you're like, I don't want to hear y'all's conversation.
No.
I have nothing to do with this.
Especially
in
restaurants.
Yeah.
Or if you're in a waiting room somewhere and there's
yeah, and it's quiet, there's nobody talking, there's four or five people just sitting there in a waiting room somewhere, and you got that guy that comes in.
No.
Anyways, guys, be sure to check out the article that we post up here, Replacing Ozempic, Natural Alternatives Enhanced GLP. It talks about berberine in here, berberine ultimate. Also, too, product of the week on sale, the vitamin C formula for over 16% off. Check it out. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys. Appreciate you. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Continue to pray for us. We pray for you. Thank you for your support. God bless.